Hi, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. My name is Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy or via email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can follow Golf News Net on a variety of platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at the handle Golf News Net. You can find all of our work at golfnewsnet.com, a lot of my work at sports.yahoo.com and the Devil Ball Golf Blog. And we are presented by betdsi.com. We use betdsi.com's odds every single week for our PGA Tour odds posts. And what we really love about those posts when we do them is that you can see on BetDSI exactly what the public's money is doing and how they're moving the odds with or against your money and your interests each and every week. And it's very good for fantasy players, even if you don't do golf betting each way, straight up to win, matchups every week. It's great because you get a good idea of what the public is thinking. The people who do this for a living more often than not are going to do with their money each and every week. And it's very informative for fantasy golf purposes. So BetDSI.com. Kevin Power joins me. He is a new team member for Golf News Net. He's going to be one of the four people, yes, four people, which is a record for us, which is more than one, which would be a record, to cover the U.S. Open for you for Golf News Net at Oakmont in a few weeks' time. Kevin's going to join us up there at Oakmont in the Pittsburgh area to do a little bit of podcasting, do a little bit of research, do a little bit of writing. He's going to be a three-tool player for us at the U.S. Open, and we're going to have him on as part of a conversation driven around the topic of Muirfield's decision to continue its 272-year tradition of excluding half the world's population and not admitting women, unfortunately coming about 15 votes short of getting that two-thirds majority required to be able to admit female members for the first time and change their constitution. So we'll talk about, in about a 20-minute conversation, what all of that means for Muirfield, the RNA, the Open Championship, the people involved, the East Lothian economy in Scotland, other courses that could potentially get into the rotation, and we'll put in the context of what Rory McIlroy has done in speaking out against Muirfield's decision and also trying to pressure Portmarnock over in Ireland, which is a fabulous club, but it's an all-male club, to admit a female member so that he can feel comfortable bringing the Irish Open there as the host of the tournament. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Phil Mickelson, his charges with the SEC, why he is not in handcuffs right now, why he could have been a couple of years ago when this investigation started, and what all of this might mean moving forward for Mickelson, for his PGA Tour reputation, for a potential suspension, and other things. But first, a quick word from GolfKnickers.com. Make your next golf outing a memorable one with GolfKnickers from GolfKnickers.com. Whether you're playing in a weekend foursome or suiting an entire team for an upcoming tournament, GolfKnickers.com has a vast selection of traditional golf knickers, Argyle socks, newsboy-style golf caps, and sweater vests to fit your needs. I have one of each. Check out their selection at GolfKnickers.com and make your next outing the most memorable it can be. Use the promo code GOLFNEWS to receive 10% off your first purchase. Head over to GolfKnickers.com right now. Well, you can do it while you're listening to this, but we want you to go over there. So let's talk about Phil Mickelson for about 8 to 10 minutes, and then we'll bring in Kevin to have the discussion about Muirfield. Phil Mickelson, a few years ago when this investigation started from the SEC, looking into a 2012 trade that he made into dairy product maker Dean Foods, when this investigation started, the SEC had every intention of putting Phil Mickelson in handcuffs and sending him to jail on an insider trading charge, ultimately what is known as securities fraud. And something really important happened in the course of this investigation into Phil Mickelson's dealings with famous sports bettor Billy Walters and Billy Walters' connection to the former Dean Foods chairman, board chair, Thomas Davis. And it has nothing to do with this case. But over the course of that investigation, an SEC-driven investigation which led to a conviction in an insider trading case, two of them were overturned. And they were overturned by courts because they basically redefined what it meant to be involved in insider trading. It no longer means, legally speaking, for insider trading to make a material benefit off of knowledge that should not be made public or is not yet made public for a publicly traded company. And Mickelson learned some information from Billy Walters, and it's pretty clear from the case that's laid out by the SEC in their lawsuit naming Mickelson a relief defendant. It's pretty clear Mickelson knew the information. He knew that Dean Foods was going to basically spin off a subsidiary called White Waves, that it was going to be profitable, and that it was going to drive up the stock price dramatically. And he did He learned this information from Billy Walters, and he made a large stock purchase, a $2.4 million stock position, which is 10 times the stock positions combined he had in his three brokerage accounts before this August 2012 trade. And he buys the stock. He buys $2.4 million worth of it. The stock goes up 40% when, as he knew, the company announced this subsidiary. He sells it the very next day for $931,000 profit. And ultimately, Mickelson used that $931,000 in profit to pay off at least a portion, if not all, of the gambling debt he owed to Billy Walters. Now, we don't know if Walters was his bookie, which is very well possible. We don't know if Walters and Mickelson had an ongoing bet related to maybe golf. Maybe they were playing $50,000 a hole or something on the golf course, which, by the way, is still technically illegal. We don't know the context of that relationship. All we know from the filing, the lawsuit against Mickelson, where he's, again, a relief defendant and was asked to pay back the $931,000 plus some piece of interest, plus some small penalty to the SEC as part of this, basically to give back the gain he shouldn't have made in the first place. And it totals a little bit more than $1 million in the end. So he pays about a $80,000 penalty on these gains. But all of that happens. And if these two convictions aren't overturned a couple of years ago, Phil Mickelson is in handcuffs right now. Well, he would be out on bond because Billy Walters got out on $1 million bond with a $100,000 cash post. But nonetheless, Mickelson would have been criminally charged in this case. Let's make that absolutely certain, because there are a couple of folks out there that are reporting that basically this is a vindication of Mickelson, that he didn't have insider knowledge, that he wasn't doing anything illegal. Frankly, in the eyes of the SEC, Mickelson did a lot that was illegal and, frankly, criminal in nature. The only problem was they've been rebuffed twice by courts overturning their insider trading convictions in the last 3 years. So they're now a little gun shy, and they don't want to go through that again on an appeal, which could, if they lose for a third time, make them look extremely bad. So they decided, okay, well, we're going to settle for getting the money back, and we'll name Phil Mickelson a relief defendant. He has agreed to pay back the money and the interest. Again, a little bit over $1 million he's going to pay altogether, including the gains, the interest, and a little fine. And this is a slap on the wrist, but this is not what the intention was. The SEC would not have tracked down Phil Mickelson with the FBI's help at the Memorial Tournament in 2014. They wouldn't have done it in a private airport in Newark, New Jersey in 2014. They wouldn't have done those things for Phil Mickelson or to Phil Mickelson if they weren't really serious about pursuing big charges with him. And frankly, they were really trying to go after Billy Walters. That's what they were trying to do here. Billy Walters has successfully evaded federal charges on almost a handful of occasions, four different times. He's been charged with something and never gone to jail because he's found a way out. And this time, they pretty much have him dead to rights. And the question is, and I'm not sure we're ever going to find out the answer, is how much Mickelson ultimately cooperated in the investigation with the SEC and the FBI to nail down Billy Walters. Because, of course, they could subpoena for the text messages between the two. They couldn't necessarily get the content of those calls without having to use a subpoena on Mickelson, which they may well ultimately have done. They may have come to him and said, look, we're going to get you, and here's how we're going to get you. You might want to help us out. And Mickelson probably said, well, no, I don't want to do that. Not to my friend, and I don't think I'm guilty. I don't think you're going to get me, kind of thing. And then ultimately, when these overturns happened, when these charges were overturned, the context of the investigation changed, Mickelson's role in it changed, and it probably became a whole lot easier for him to get involved in some fashion. So it was to say, look, I had no idea that Billy Walters was being fed this information as part of a five-year relationship with Thomas Davis, who was, again, the former chair of Dean Foods, who reportedly gave Billy Walters previews of six different quarterly earnings reports for Dean Foods. So it was easy for Billy Walters to make money on this stock because he had an in And once he probably felt he had that established in, he could continue to make these big moves, these big fluctuations in position in this one company to the point that it wouldn't get caught. It wouldn't trip off anything. But Mickelson's decision to buy 10 times his combined otherwise brokerage positions in this stock to get the 40% gain and then sell it the next day, well, that pretty much just tipped the whole thing off. So Mickelson in all of this ultimately was a pawn. And that pawn led them to Billy Walters. And luckily for Mickelson, because the law has somewhat changed in the court system, he's not going to prison. Now, he could face a PGA Tour reprimand. There is a clear section in the PGA Tour handbook for players that relates to gambling, that is conduct unbecoming of a professional. Now, obviously, the Tour has never suspended Mickelson for gambling on the golf course in those Tuesday games. They could have done that already. So this would set a weird precedent to say that gambling on the golf course is fine, although it's technically illegal. And this whole other business of gambling with Billy Walters, specifically as a potential bookie, is illegal, but you know, we're going to turn a blind eye to some of the other stuff. It's going to be a mess if they choose to suspend him. So I don't get the sense that the Tour is angling to do this. They may suspend him briefly or quietly in a time of the year where Mickelson kind of takes time off. Maybe this goes through an investigation through October, and Mickelson suspended for October, November, December, tournaments he doesn't feel like playing anyway, comes back in January, and everything is hunky-dory after a three-month suspension. So that's where I think this is ultimately going to play out. I don't think Mickelson loses any endorsement out of this, primarily because of two things. One, he has developed, albeit in a hush-hush fashion, this reputation, and willingly developed this reputation as a guy who likes to take risks, wink, on the golf course. And he also likes to gamble, wink, double wink, on the golf course and off. And he's trying to say, oh, no, I don't gamble that much, but I did get that 2000 Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl pick. It was a 125-1. I definitely made 25K or whatever, 250K on that bet. But I don't bet on sports a lot. I don't have a, you know. And he's also developed a great relationship with the media over the years. And it's developed to the point where he gets treated, not with kid gloves, but he gets away with things that are potentially subject to more scrutiny for other players. And I think if this were Vijay Singh who had a gambling issue, this would not be going so smoothly. This wouldn't be so quiet. This wouldn't be, oh, well, Phil's lawyer can put out a statement saying he's been vindicated and we all just publish it and everything's great. No, Phil Mickelson was not vindicated. Phil Mickelson got off on an evolution of criminal law that was out of the hands of the SEC and the FBI. Make no mistake about it. As I mentioned, if that didn't happen, those two overturned convictions did not happen in 2014, Phil Mickelson is in jail right now. Be aware of that. So what effect does this have on Mickelson the rest of the way? Probably not that much, although he obviously hasn't won a golf tournament in the last couple of years. But he's playing great golf this year. Seems to be compartmentalizing whatever issues he was having with the FBI and the SEC away from his performance on the golf course. And maybe now that this whole thing is settled for him, he can get winning out of the way. It might be pretty interesting to see how he performs. Again, I'm not going to say that what he did is okay. It was criminal. What Phil Mickelson did was criminal under old statute. But because things changed, he just gets to pay a huge fine. And that's what happens when you're rich, when you have influence, and you are valuable to the people doing the investigation. And he was valuable in helping them get Billy Walters. And Billy Walters could potentially go away for 4 or 5 years because of this, if not longer, maybe 10 or 20, depending on how really hard they want to go after this and how many different charges of securities fraud they want to create for Billy Walters. So Mickelson, again, pawn, finishes the job. He gets to go on playing golf, and they get a sports bettor out of the way. There you go. All right, so we're going to bring in Kevin Power. We're going to talk about Muirfield. And we're going to talk about all of the ramifications of having this vote go down earlier in the week, where the all-male membership of Muirfield just could not get 2/3 of their voting members to agree to change their constitution to allow female members. And the RNA has responded in kind by saying, well, if you can't have female members, then we can't have the open at your place. So enjoy the conversation with Kevin from earlier in the week, and we'll come back and wrap up the show.
So, Kevin, thanks for being on the show with us. First, let's talk about the bigger news of the week other than Phil Mickelson having to pay about $1 million back to Uncle Sam. Let's talk about Muirfield deciding not to allow female members, extending its nearly 270-year tradition of having only men as members, even though women can play as guests and they can play with their husbands for free and stuff like that. They've decided they're not going to allow female members, and the RNA has decided as a result that Muirfield will no longer be in the open rotation so long as it doesn't have female members, or at least isn't open to female members. So what's your view on Muirfield's vote, and then what's your view on the RNA's reaction to that vote?
I think the RNA's reaction to that vote was definitely the right way to go about 100%. I mean, that's the politically correct thing to do. They had to do that. But my opinion on the Muirfield thing, I think part of me wants to say it's the worst decision in the world. I mean, it's 2016. It's horrible, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, Augusta just did it a couple years ago. It was token. I mean, like, there's a lot of these courts that still exist. They might not be on the British Open rotation, but it still exists. It's a horrible thing, but it's like, to each his own. If the course wants to do it, they're up to themselves. Like, they're up to do it themselves. If they want to take the rap for it and not have the British Open anymore, that's their own fault. They should come to the times, but a lot of these people that progress toward doing that is only doing it for publicity. They don't really want to do it. So they're sticking to themselves and doing it, and they're going to have the repercussions of that. But I'm not going to say they can't do it. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, and I'm with you about Muirfield that they can. They are obviously a private club. They are not legally required to have female members. It's a matter of pure club business. If they want to have all men as members, by all means, that's your choice. And then that is also the RNA's choice to say, okay, well, we have to take this stance, or we believe in this stance, or however you want to coin it, but that we believe that every place we host the Open should allow female members because we want to be somewhat representative of our sport, and I guess that means 20% women who play it, but want to be representative of our sport and welcoming to everybody. And if you're going to discriminate against someone on the basis of their gender or their race, then we can't have you. And I think that's possible for the reason you precisely noted at the start, which is Augusta National did it. If Augusta National hadn't admitted African Americans in the early 1990s and then women in 2012, I don't know if we're having this conversation right now.
What do you mean by that?
If Augusta National doesn't open its doors to more people, albeit not tons of more people, but more people, then does the RNA care? Does the RNA have the same interest level that they do in telling Muirfield you're out of the rotation?
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%.
So if that's the case, then, you know, is Muirfield going to acquiesce, do you think? Do you think that they will say, okay, well, we still want to host the Open. We've done it 16 times. Let's go ahead and we'll allow one woman to join so we can shut the RNA up.
I'm sure that's going to happen. I'm 100%
sure
that's going to happen.
Now, how long do you think it's going to take for that to happen?
I mean, the fact that we're talking about it and it's been pretty high news in the golf world the last couple of days, I would think they're going to have to feel public pressure to do it very soon. I mean, like, I don't know, when are they supposed to be up on the rotation, you know?
Well, the Open rotation is pretty much set through 2019 at this point. 2020 is an open date. It would typically go to St. Andrews, but because 2021 will be the 150th Open Championship, it's expected they're going to skip 2020, leave that open for someone else, and St. Andrews will get 2021. So that's the only open date right now, 4 years into the future.
And okay. So, and Muirfield isn't on the rotation as of yet. They're not actually throwing any.
Correct.
Other,
correct.
Okay. So I would think sooner than later, but at latest 2019 or 2018, whenever they have to make that decision, they'll know exactly when that decision has to be made on the 2020 British Open. So whenever that has the decision will be made, I'm sure we'll find out who the first female member is of Muirfield. I think it would be too much of a money loss for them to not. It would be stupid. Even though, you know, if they want to stick to their guns, whatever, if you agree or disagree, the money speaks, you know?
And even if the club doesn't necessarily make a ton of money off of the Open, and they do. I mean, they get paid a rental fee, they get a bunch of other stuff. Even if they don't feel like they're getting a lot of money out of it, there's going to be pressure, I think, from the East Lothian portion of Scotland, which sees the benefit of having the Open Championship at Muirfield every X number of years, and that benefit, that economic benefit that could be to the tune of $100 million, will disappear unless Muirfield decides they're going to admit a woman as a member. Do you think that there's an economic pressure there that can be applied to Muirfield from the greater community in that part of Scotland to say, look, we kind of need you to do this because there's big money on the line?
There has to be. There has to be. The same reason why there's going to be another Open in Chambers Bay, regardless of how it happened last year, is because the town of University Place made a killing off that.
Yeah.
Like, they've never seen anything like that. So, yes, 100%. If it's going to be, if it's going to affect the yearly economy for that part of the world in that every couple of years, 100%. They have to. I mean, like, yeah, it's got it, right? I mean, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, I would think that nine-figure sum that could come with every Open, be it every 7 or 8 years, is plenty of pressure. I mean, it's plenty to say to those guys at Muirfield, look, I know you guys are rich and all, but we'd like some money too, and if you're not going to do this, then you're kind of killing our economy just because you are stuck in the 20th or 19th century, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, but also, I agree with you 1,000%, but also they got to look at it as a prestige thing. Once they're not known as an Open course, They're not.
Right.
They can't charge the same. They're not known. You're not going over there to play. If you're going over there to play Open courses, you're not playing there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people specifically go over to that type of area to play Open courses, and you're not known as an Open course. That's got to settle into them at some point too. You know?
I think so.
I think they're going to sit back and realize how stupid this is, how dumb it is. I will respect their opinion, but they're going to be like, all right, this is 2016. We're not in the dark ages anymore, you know?
Yeah. And then the question is, how does the first woman or set of women to become female members at Muirfield feel about that? Do they jump at the chance because they get to join Muirfield? Or do they go, well, we're kind of the token female so that we just can be, that Muirfield can be a part of the Open Championship rotation again? I guess I'm wondering how the first women who are admitted to the club eventually feel. Do they feel welcome? Do they feel just kind of like we're here because we got to be here?
Well, if I'm any of those women that live anywhere remotely near that, there's no way in hell I would take that membership. You know, say I'm like a prominent figure, I wouldn't do that. It's going to be hard with this decision once they reverse it. To get women to just be like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to have pride themselves now.
Right,
so I think
right.
That's not going to, you know? So
yeah, that's my thinking.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, this is going to hurt them, but it's still Muirfield. You know, I'm sure they'll get somebody. I mean, I'm sure they'll get an American or just, I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be, but. That's them making this decision is only going to hurt them in the long run. I mean, it is, but like I said, going back to my other thing, good for them. And there's so many, but the fact that we're talking about, like, you know, Garden City, I think there's Garden City in New York where you don't have to wear a shirt. You know what I mean? Like, no, I swear to God, like, there are sports that still exist. And I'm pretty sure a woman can't even go through they can't even go past the gate. Like, if they have to get in touch with their husband, like, they send a messenger, like, I'm not even joking. This stuff still exists. You know what I mean? It's like we're talking about golf, man. You know, so and there's a lot of money. These guys can do what the hell they want. It's like theoretically, and to each his own. A woman who's got enough money, you can go out there and do the same thing, and not let her play.
Right.
So that's very possible. So like it's easily to say politically correct and say everybody should be able to play everywhere, but. You know, money is money, and these guys can do whatever they want, and these girls can do whatever they want, or whatever, you know. But this is just not a publicly not a good decision, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think that this is a bad choice, with a series of long-term consequences that the Muirfield membership may have not considered. And if they're going to admit a woman or set of women to the club just to placate the RNA and try to get back in the rotation, they have a short window to do this, because if they don't do it sooner than later, and I think maybe in the next 18 months, there is the possibility that the RNA decides, okay, well, we'll announce a 2020 course. We'll put a new course into the rotation. There are plenty out there that are great that have never hosted an Open Championship. May have hosted an RNA event, but never an Open Championship. You've got Royal County Down. You've got Porthcawl. You've got Cinqports. You could trick up Kings Barnes. I mean, you have so many golf courses that could legitimately host the Open. And then you just go, if you're Muirfield, you met a woman in, say, 2018, 2019, and you go, okay, we're ready. And the RNA goes, well, we're booked through 22, so you're not hosting the Open again until 23, 24, maybe 25, and there's probably going to be some penalty there from the RNA. So all of a sudden, what looks like an every 7 to 8 years gig is now 12 years out, because you couldn't find 15 more guys to vote to have at least one woman as a member of your club. It just seems like such a short-sighted, ignorant decision.
Do you think, just playing devil's advocate, there's any positive? Do you think these members thought of anything positive that could come about from making this decision?
Other than getting the keep to themselves, which maybe some of them want. I mean, maybe there is a portion of the membership that doesn't like hosting the Open, that just wants their club to themselves instead of every 8-9 years, giving it up for 2 to 3 weeks for the Open and then additional time to prep for the Open. Maybe they just go, okay, well, we're Muirfield. We can be a private club and just do what we want now. And we don't have to be under any kind of microscope. We don't have to kind of conform to what the RNA believes should be legitimate treatment. I think the RNA's view is kind of shared by most of the world, but you know that they could do what they want. I think that's what they think is the benefit here, that they now don't have to care what the RNA thinks about anything.
You know what? Well, if you're right, that's a great point. If you're right, then they're never going to allow a woman, and they're just going to get off the Open rotation and be happy about it. They're going to be their Pine
right.
Valley.
Right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you know, like there's so many courses in America that who gives a shit about having an Open or anything? Like we're fine.
Yeah.
Cyprus, you can go to Cyprus. You think you can get a tournament over there? No chance.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so like that's a good point. Like if I'm bringing back the money, if I'm rich enough, I don't need your money. I, like hopefully the people around them could get to them and do that. But or hopefully they get a neighboring course to do it. Like you said, there's so many courses. You throw a rock. You got a U.S. Open or Open Championship course out there. So
yeah.
I bet you the economy, like you said, won't be that much affected locally because there could be a neighboring course. That could be a way to really screw them. And show them that you're we're more important than you are, but they could also be like, you know what, I don't give a shit. And I have enough money and we'll be fine. You know?
Right. Yep,
so,
and that's totally possible.
The best case scenario for everybody is them to find a neighboring course that the local economy doesn't lose anything as a result of that. It's a great course. It's a historic venue, whatever, like every other course around there. And Muirfield gets to keep themselves and say, screw it. But there will be, you know, there'll be a lot of backlash or whatever. There'll be like the Shoal Creek of Scotland for a while. But if they don't care, they don't care. Whatever. I don't do what
right.
you want to do.
Right, yeah. You make your choice, we make ours.
Yeah, you know, and that's – so who knows? Like, so anything could happen then. Anything could happen.
Now, what I found interesting is Rory McIlroy, in particular, his reaction to this entire thing. He hosts the Irish Open this week. They're a K club. And he said, you know, the Muirfield's got to see some sense in this. They've got to – you know, they're a great venue. They should be a part of the Open. Just basically, just do it. Just admit women. And get on with it. This is the 21st century. And then as a follow-up to that, he is apparently, this came out, I think, in the Daily Mail today, that he is going to try to pressure Portmarnock to admit women so that he can bring the Irish Open there again, because he doesn't want to be in the same position trying to bring the Irish Open there as a host course and then get the same brush back that the RNA would get or any other tournament would get going to a male-only club in this day and age. I find that fascinating that he is an activist in some sense of the word for trying to get a little bit of equality and also trying to get these great clubs on a stage that they deserve because of their architectural caliber.
Well, I mean, obviously anybody that's, for the majority of these members making the decision, they're three times as old as Rory. So, you know, growing up in our generation, he's obviously going to be on the right way of thinking to be more equal. So what, like,
right.
You know, like that's the right thing to say. That's the right thing for him to do. You know, definitely.
But
I mean,
I just find it fascinating that McIlroy is willing to put his neck out like this in a way that Tiger never even considered, and Tiger could have had so much more influence than Rory has. And I know he has plenty, but Tiger had it times four or five, and he never exercised it in the way that McIlroy appears to be willing to do right now.
Oh, Tiger learned from Michael Jordan. He learned from the best.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, Republicans buy shoes, too. You know what
yeah.
I mean? That's what Jordan said. Republicans buy shoes, too. So, like,
right.
if you're gonna make a stand, you're going to alienate some people. So it's good for Rory to do that, but I understand why Tiger did. The same reason he wanted to have Buick. Same reason he wanted to have American Express. The same reason he did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. Same reason he shouldn't have gotten married. Like, you know, he did a lot of things he shouldn't have done to get more money, to be more mainstream. You know, that wasn't his personality, you know? And it ended up biting him in the butt. But Rory, it's good of him to do that, definitely. You know, like, you can see for what he did from with the Olympic stuff, where he wasn't sure if he wants to represent Northern Ireland or Ireland, right? Or no,
right.
I don't know, I'm sorry. Northern Ireland isn't a country. So he was deciding to
Great Britain
and Ireland, right? So
right.
The fact that he was even concerned about that or even made it publicly concerned, that it shows that he has a conscience when it comes to politics or the right, you know, gender relation, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great, you know, like, but it's a lot easier to just do what Tiger did and Jordan did, that, you know, and just worry about the bottom line, the cash.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, you know, kudos to McIlroy for deciding, after thoughtful consideration, these are the things I believe in, and I'm not trying to do this. He doesn't do it in a brash way as to try to make himself seem better or more important than anyone else, but to just say, okay, I have this influence. I have this the stage that I can stand on as one of the best golfers on the planet, and I'm going to use it when I think it can not only benefit the game, but also, in this case, the Irish Open, which is a business interest of his, and I'm going to flex my muscle a little bit. I appreciate that. I think that's A, fascinating, and B, very commendable.
I agree 100%. Anybody that has a strong opinion, I think it's great. You know, it's not going to, as long as it's not alienating, you know, loads of people, i.e. Curt Schilling. But,
he's the opposite of Spieth in some regard like that, because Spieth is the ultimate pitch guy. He's hooked up with enormous corporations, AT&T, Coca-Cola, and good for him on doing it. There's money to be made anywhere. But Spieth doesn't strike me as a guy who is going to be an activist for a lot of different causes, whereas I think McIlroy is, and there is still the potential there with Spieth because of the activism that he can do on behalf of his sister and for the developmentally disabled, that he could have a huge impact later in his career. I mean, he's only 22 years old. But I'm curious to see whether what McIlroy is saying and doing now at 27, 28, is going to influence what Spieth does and says as he finds a way to wield his voice to do some things in the world.
Yeah, I think bringing him back to the whole Tiger thing, and I hope he does something with his sister's disorder or whatever she has. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact terminology, but I hope he does more in that, and I hope he does more behind the scenes that we don't know about. But in order to get, like Tiger did, like I say, using Buick and American Express, like, him, I believe he got married in order to get these different endorsements. He didn't want to get married. So I think Jordan is walking the fine line and realizing who he actually is, that he doesn't want to say anything that's going to be too on left or right at all. And all these sponsors are just going to run through it because he's so vanilla right now, which is perfect. You know what I mean? That's how you get these blue chip companies on your side, like especially right now. And then maybe he could develop a voice with that, with their blessing almost, but he's almost under the guise of a lot of these companies now. So he's not going to do that. Rory is Nike, who's a very progressive company, and he's got, like, he kind of chooses his endorsements a little bit more toward, tailored to him, I think. If you go back, Rory was wearing a Nike shirt when he was 5 years old. You know, so it's something that he always loved. It was something that he always loved. He always loved Tiger. I'm sure he loved Jordan, something like that. So Nike was his thing. Like, he really believed in it. You could tell he's doing things that he really believes in.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan could be a little bit more down the middle.
And that might change. Yeah, that, as you mentioned, that might change over time, where he decides, all right, this is my voice. These are the things I believe in, want to stand up for, and that's what I'm going to care about.
Yeah, exactly. That could change. Yeah, or it could stay exactly the same. He says the right thing, and he becomes a trillionaire.
This is
true. I mean, like,
there's money to be made in being quiet.
Yeah, Jordan didn't really get hurt by the fact that he wasn't very political on either side, you know?
Right, yeah.
Michael, not Speed.
And, well, it is true for Speed, too. I mean, he's pretty down the middle, at least publicly. I mean, I know he's a Republican, but he's down the middle, at least publicly speaking. And I think that will serve him well financially speaking, and if that's what he wants to do with his career and just kind of make money and not necessarily have a big public impact on a particular cause or set of people, then that's his choice, obviously. Just like it was Muirfield's choice not to admit women, and it's just like it's RNA's decision and their choice to not host the Open anymore at Muirfield. So, I think it's a big lesson learned from this conversation is choices have consequences, and you have to live with them, I suppose.
Amen.
Well, Kevin, thanks for being on with us today. We can't wait to have you at the Open. We're happy to have you on part of the team for GNN and our coverage moving forward. So thanks for hopping on with us.
Thanks a lot, man. I'm excited to be part of the team.
Thanks again to Kevin Power for being a part of this conversation, this podcast. I thought it was really illuminating. I thought it was fascinating. And we got into some topics I didn't expect, including Rory McIlroy's willingness to take a stand on social issues and doing it in a way that isn't it just isn't negative. It's using his influence in a positive way to embark good change on the game. And if he can do it, and if he can be an activist for things that need to change in the sport, then he's already been more effective than Tiger Woods has ever been, at least in changing golf. And that makes him a great ambassador for the sport. So thanks again for Kevin being on the show. Next week, we'll talk about whatever happens on Sunday at the Byron Nelson. We'll talk about the Dean and DeLuca Invitational, formerly known as Colonial. And we'll talk about all kinds of other stuff happening in the world of golf. Again, if you listen to us via iTunes, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Not that it really dramatically influences things, but sometimes it gets us featured if you do something nice for us like that, and we would love you forever. Also, check out the GNN app. We have the GNN radio app available for iOS and Android devices, and hopefully by this time next week when we speak, we'll have the full Golf News Net app out for iOS and Android devices. So we'll let you know when that happens. And we're really looking forward to the U.S. Open coverage. And if you have any ideas about what you'd love to hear about, what you'd love to see on the ground, please let us know on social media, facebook.com/golfnewsnet and twitter.com/golfnewsnet. Until next week, I'm Ryan Balanty saying thanks so much for being part of our show, and we'll catch you next time on the 19th hole.